Hi everyone, this is Eliz, and I'm here with my friend Andreas, who's visiting me from Dubai. And he and I met while I had my first job in Chicago, and I met him during my first week. And we became good friends, and so now while I'm living here in New York, he is staying with me for the weekend as he's traveling and visiting back home. So, Andreas, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you live now?
Yeah.
All that jazz.
So I'm originally from, I was born, it's actually a tough question for me to answer because where I'm from is kind of all over the place. So I was born in Louisiana, grew up in Houston, went to school in Austin, then moved after school to Chicago, spent some time there, moved to New York, and now I'm living in Dubai. So every time, depending on who's actually asking you that question, I answer very differently. Sometimes it's Houston, sometimes it's Baton Rouge, sometimes it's New York, if I'm talking to someone in Dubai and you want to know where I lived last. But yeah, that's kind of my quick background.
Yeah. So now that you live in Dubai, how did you get there?
So when I moved to Chicago, it was for working in the media business, which is where we met.
Yep.
But I continued to do this, and I started to work into a few global roles. And over time, I realized that I wanted to live outside the U.S. to experience different cultures. So I found an opportunity within my original company, Starcom, and they had a position open in the Middle East. They were looking for someone to come in to help with some of the planning and strategy, and I decided to jump on board and made the move about a year ago. So doing similar things that you're still doing here in New York, but in Dubai and looking at different countries.
Yeah. So one of the things that we first bonded over was we both love traveling. Obviously, you now live abroad, but even before then, you were traveling abroad all the time, and I was always asking you about it. And we actually have an ongoing joke that I say Andreas is so global. But anyway, what are some of the top things that you feel are different about living and working in Dubai versus when you were working here in the States?
I think for me, it was kind of nice to just experience a completely different culture. In my current role, I'm looking after about 16 different markets. So very different when you're looking at countries that are not the same, even though they're all speaking Arabic, they all behave very differently, different consumers.
Yeah, it's got to be like a deep dive into
yeah,
all those countries.
It's completely different. Whereas here in the U.S., you're talking to kind of Americans. We're all very similar. Even if you're West Coast versus East Coast, you have the same behavior and you have the same kind of mentality. But there, I'm literally looking at people who are living in rural Egypt, or maybe they're extremely wealthy living in Saudi Arabia, where the smartphone penetration is almost up to 200% or something like that. Each person has two phones.
Yes, I'm confused.
So each person has two phones. It's not quite 200%, but it's over 100. It's like 150 or something. I guess the difference in my actual day-to-day job, it's not that different. It's kind of just who you're working with and how you're working with them. Relationships are much more important there. The team is closer, which I really enjoy because I've become almost like family with the people that I work with, which is slightly different than what I've experienced here in New York. But yeah, I would say just adjusting to a different work style. Things move a little bit slower, and it is really relationship-based. That's probably one of the biggest differences.
Yeah. And then on the side, you also have been traveling a lot and kind of always have, even when you lived here in the States. What are some of the places that you've been to?
So in the past year, part of why Dubai made sense for me, the city itself doesn't necessarily appeal to me. Just it's a little bit like Vegas and Miami.
Party!
But I love the access to different countries. So it's in the prime location. So I've been able to do Southeast Asia. So I did Vietnam, Thailand this year. I've been able to do India. I've gone into Africa with Egypt. I did Nepal. Oman was a quick drive from the UAE. So I've had a lot of opportunities to kind of see places that I never would have seen before if I didn't move to Dubai.
And that was on your own time, too, not just through work.
Yeah. All of these, with the exception of Egypt, all of these were on my own time. So these were just trips that I would plan because we had a Muslim holiday was coming up. So Ramadan's here. I have a week off. Might as well go somewhere like India. So, yeah.
So there's a lot of people out there who really are reluctant to spend their vacation days exploring somewhere new, especially as often as you do. What are some of the things that have drawn you to traveling that frequently?
For me, I just kind of want to see as much as I can of the world. I know that a lot of people kind of, they save up their vacations so they can go on one big trip versus kind of these small ones that I keep doing where I go to Nepal for 3 days or 4 days. But for me, it's like I want to pack in as much of a variety of experiences as I can. And if I limit myself to only being able to travel once a year, I'm not going to be able to do that. So I don't think either one is necessarily better or worse, but I have started to build more and more of these shorter trips into my experience while I'm in Dubai. I want to make the most of the time I have there.
Yeah. So I guess one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the difference between taking short trips versus long trips. I've always been taking, you know, week-long trips or maybe 10-day trips with my vacation days. You clearly have the same number of vacation days as me since we work at the same company. But you've approached it a little bit differently and gone on weekend trips, as well as occasionally the longer trip too. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that there's one thing that's better than the other? How do you usually approach it?
I mean, so a long trip is amazing. My first trip was a 3-month backpacking trip of Europe. But obviously when you're focused on career, you can't exactly do that. So for a while, I actually used to kind of be distracted by waiting for my next big long trip. So I would travel less frequently. And then one day I just kind of realized I need to stop waiting for the next big trip and just take advantage of every opportunity I can. So while I was in the U.S. still, I started doing a couple of small trips. I think the big one was when I did 2 weeks in South America. For the longest time in my mind, I was like, I'm going to wait until I can do another 3-month backpacking trip in South America. But after 3 years of waiting for this, it was clear that that wasn't going to happen.
You did the backpacking trip before you started work, right?
No. This was South America while I was at MediaVest. So I was in New York. I guess I can back up. So after my backpacking trip in Europe, I was working at Starcom in Chicago for about 4 years. When I moved to New York, I think this is when I realized I can't keep waiting to do another backpacking trip for 3 months because that's not going to come up. So when I was in New York, I said, I'm going to take 2 weeks off. I'm going to go to South America, do another backpacking trip. It's not going to be the 3 months that I got to do for Europe, but I'm going to get to see, you know, 3 countries. I got to go to Machu Picchu. I got to spend time on beaches in Rio, and then just walk around in the city in Buenos Aires. So if I had kept waiting, I could possibly still be waiting because I don't know when I'm going to have 3 months off to just go do all of this stuff. But I got to do a lot in that short trip. It's actually one of my favorite trips, the South America one.
And just to clarify, your Europe backpacking trip for 3 months, that was before you started working for our company, right?
Yes.
Got it. But that actually makes me think, so you did your South America backpacking trip, the 2-week one, alone, right?
Yes.
But you met a lot of really cool people while you were on it, in the hostels and stuff. I remember you coming back kind of on this high saying, met so many great people, and we went to out in Buenos Aires together, into the beach together and all that. I mean, what do you think about traveling alone versus traveling with other people? There's so many people who are too scared to travel alone.
So for a long time, it was tough for me to find people that wanted to do these trips in general, either money or vacation time or just prioritizing it. They just didn't want to take these trips. So for a while, I had only done solo trips and I loved it. And I was kind of this mindset that the only way to travel internationally is alone. Otherwise, you're going to have a horrible time. You're not going to experience the culture. You're not going to meet all these people. Because you do, when you're alone, you go out of your comfort zone, and you have to meet new people. So you're kind of forced to make friends at hostels or whatever, or bars.
I have never traveled alone.
Apparently,
I like being in my comfort zone.
The first time I did it, I remember being just in complete fear walking into a hostel and meeting 4 people. And we're all crammed in these, you know, miniature bunk beds. But over time, you get super used to it, and you start to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you start to learn a little bit about yourself.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed traveling alone. But after a while, I started to, you know, all of my friends started to have more interest in traveling, or I met new people that were also interested in traveling. So I've taken a few trips with people. And I'll say that, you know, one of the big advantages of a trip with someone is that, in my opinion, after the trip, you can always think back on the experiences and share them with someone else. So right now I have friends around the world that I never see, and yeah, sure, I had those moments with them, but it's not like I can call them on the phone and be like, remember that time in Lima where we did this and this and this? You can do that when you travel with someone. So
yeah.
It's nice to have that shared memory with someone that you see more often and someone that's in your close friend group. You wouldn't get that if you're traveling alone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I guess, what do you think are the best qualities of a person that, or finding a person to travel with?
So this is really important because I've traveled with a lot of different people, and every experience is different. I think the ones that have worked out the best is usually you have to have kind of the same mindset in terms of how flexible you're going to be or how particular you are going to be with certain things. If you're extremely flexible, then you probably can travel with a large variety of people, obviously. That makes sense, right? What ends up becoming a struggle is when you have two people that are too particular in what their needs are and they're opposites. So, for example, if one person only wants to stay in hostels, but the other person only wants to stay in a hotel, that's obviously not a good match to go travel together.
Yeah.
Anyway. You could, you know, amount of money available is
mm-hmm.
another thing. Like, some people are willing to go out and spend a lot of money on a nice dinner because they want to really experience the cuisine,
yeah.
high-end restaurants, that kind of thing. Whereas another person may be a budget backpacker who wants to eat street food every night or something like that. So those are the kinds of things you need to think about before you go on the trip with a person, because once you're on the trip, they can escalate and you can have arguments, and you don't want that when you're traveling.
Totally.
That's kind of a buzzkill, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing I'll add to that is you don't always have to find someone who's exactly like you, because I did actually take a trip recently with a friend, actually a colleague of both of ours. We went to India together, and that trip actually worked out really well. He's a little bit more of a planner than I am. I'm a little bit more like, just go with the flow. But what was nice was we were both flexible, and he actually enjoyed putting together the planning, and I was kind of like down to do whatever. So it worked out really well. We hit a lot of stuff that we wouldn't have done if he hadn't planned. And we were able to kind of just easily make decisions. Like, if one of us had a suggestion, the other was flexible enough to just say, yeah, we're going to go to this restaurant again. We actually went to this one restaurant in the hotel 3 times. Some people would not be on board with that, but the two of us loved the food so much that we were like, let's just try different plates. It was a bunch of local Indian food that we just kept eating. So yeah, it doesn't have to be like you two are exactly the same personality. They just need to be complementary.
Totally. So that actually brings up a good point for my blog, because a lot of it's going to be about the planning process and about the logistics of getting there. But I don't think I am the personality that could ever just wing it once they got to a destination. I always need to have some sort of idea of what my itinerary is going to be, not necessarily down to the hour, but I want to know what kind of landmarks I want to hit and know where I'm going to stay each night, hopefully, before I get there. But you've done it where you have gone without a plan before. What was that like?
For me, it's a rush. I love it.
Yeah.
So probably the craziest one was, it wasn't that crazy, but it was, I was in the process of changing jobs, and I had 2 weeks off, and within that 2 weeks, literally the morning of the day that I was going to fly out is the day I decided I was going to travel. So I bought a ticket to Guatemala and left that night. So I flew into Guatemala, I found a hostel at the last minute. For me, again, like I said, it was a rush. Like, you don't know what you're going to do, but you're so open to kind of whatever comes your way. But what ends up happening, especially if you're traveling alone, because you're kind of forced to meet other people, you get a lot of ideas from others. So if you haven't already pre-booked or pre-planned everything, you have the ultimate flexibility. So you meet someone in the hostel who says, oh, you should go check out this market. You can go check out that market.
Right.
You're not bound to an itinerary. So for me, I love it because I tend to meet these people in the hostel and just take whatever recommendations are given.
Yeah. That's really cool. I've always had an appreciation for people who are more adventurous than myself.
Well, anyone traveling in general, whichever style you have, is still adventurous. So I wouldn't say that one way is better than the other necessarily. It's just your personality, what fits you best.
And travel's so personal.
Yeah.
I think you and I might not be the best travel companions, but damn it, we're good friends. So I guess I want to ask you a few more questions before we wrap up. Where do you want to go that you've never been?
So I've recently been looking into China a lot. So until some of Southeast Asia, I had never even hit the continent. But I've always been kind of fascinated by it because I would say that it's probably the one that's the most different from our cultures and the one that we're the most blind to here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just, I've just had a fascination with it. So I would love to go to China. I think that's going to be my next goal in 2015. What year are we? 2015.
2015. That's the year.
So yeah.
So what would you say your favorite travel book or website is?
So, when I travel, I don't usually use the books like, Lonely Planets or Photohers.
Photers, Lonely Planets.
I don't really use a lot of those. So I would say my favorite travel related book is actually a book called Do Travel Writers Go to Hell? It's kind of a strange book. It's by Thomas Constantin. But basically,
I hope I'm not going to hell as a travel blogger.
Probably not.
What are you trying to say?
It's kind of a comedy. It's really funny, but it's this guy that quits his job working in Wall Street, and he decides that he's going to go write for, I think, Lonely Planet, actually. Mm-hmm. And he goes down to Brazil, and he kind of just reveals all of the craziness that comes with travel writing and with traveling in general. So there's a lot of, like, debauchery, and there's him just kind of going on these crazy adventures. But it's written in a really funny and witty way, so I really enjoy that book. I recommend it to everyone all the time.
Cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
So my last question is, what is your favorite thing about traveling?
Probably food, but a close second is people, the people that I encounter. But I love food. So every country I go to, I want to eat as much food as I possibly can. When I'm back home, I'm usually pretty strict with what I eat, but when I'm traveling, I eat everything.
Yeah, for those of you who can't see Andreas right now, he's like super fit, runs all the time, but damn it, he loves pizza.
I love pizza. And Thai food.
And food.
I love Thai
food. Just
food
in general.
Thai, yeah, no, I love food. But people also, because you meet all these people, and everyone just has a completely different perspective, and it's just nice to see it.
Yeah.
Experience it.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for, I guess, being my first ever interviewee for my blog.
Yeah, I'm glad to be part of it.
And I guess have a good flight back to Dubai tonight.
I will.
He's literally getting on a plane in a few hours.
Yeah.
So we'll miss him here in the States.
I need to pack.
Yeah. Yeah, better sign off. You need to pack. Thanks, Andreas.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.